to avoid any misunderstanding, I'd like to mention, I just was not there when the president of the council started speaking, that the rendition of the meeting of the council was entirely a personal rendition of the president of the Security Council. It did not reflect a joint position of the members of the Security Council. Now, we have had a discussion, and we heard a report, briefing of the Secretary General about his trip to Moscow and Kiev. My first impression was that some colleagues in the Security Council were sort of trying to artificially whip up the atmosphere of international crisis. And frankly, I don't know why they are doing that, because on the one hand, they say that, you know, we must all have dialogue, you know, look at the situation, avoid further escalation of the crisis. But this effort to whip up artificially this atmosphere of an international crisis, I think, is not helpful at all. We need to see the situation as it is. And the situation is that there is obviously a crisis in Ukraine. And we all need to think of how help the Ukrainians get out of that crisis. And Russia has very specific views about it. We were asked what those views were by our international colleagues, and we spelled them out very clearly. The armed groups must be disarmed. The radicals must be reined in, and most importantly, there must be a constitutional process. There must be a constitutional assembly, and the results of the constitutional assembly must be put to referendum. And then there will be a situation, a new constitution, where all the regions of the country will be comfortable about where they are, about their rights, and about where their country is going. And unfortunately, those messages were sent to our international interlocutors, and to the Ukrainians. Of course, the Ukrainians are also aware of our view of what needs to be done in their country for it to come out of this crisis. So for people to say that somehow it is for Russia to make the next move, I did not quite understand from this discussion we have had in the Security Council what they want of Russia. We made our position clear from the outset, from the beginning of the crisis in Ukraine. Our line was that we want to work together with the Ukrainians and the international community in order to help Ukraine. You remember when this project came up of association agreement with the European Union, and the Ukrainians started having doubts about the wisdom of that agreement because of the hardships it would entail for them. They proposed that we support it, that we have trilateral discussions between European Union, Ukraine, and Russia about the, you know, many economic problems they have. So our position is very clear. We believe we know what the Ukrainians should be doing to take their country out of this political crisis, but they seem to be either unwilling or unable to do the things which are required for that. And our international partners insist that the only way out is to have this presidential election on May 25 in a situation of political chaos in the country. Are even some regions of the country going to participate in those elections? What will be the effect of those elections if some regions of the country do not participate or the turnout is very low in the course of those elections? Somebody must have a serious look at this all. Somebody must seriously think through what they are doing and the consequences of certain actions they are advocating. So we have serious concerns about where things are going. Another thing which needs to be added is that there is no political leader in sight who might be able to unite the country. All the you know, politicians one can hear about are extremely divisive for the Ukrainian society. The other thing which is going to come up in the next couple of months is most likely a dramatic decline of the living standards of people because of IMF package, which now has been proposed to them. So under those circumstances, to believe that somehow there is going to be a miracle vote on the 25th of May and then things will work out is not very responsible, and apparently is not considering the consequences of those decisions and actions. So Russia's position is very clear, but they don't want to accept those things. They don't want to understand those things, all the while saying that they expect something from Russia. So I hope this discussion we have had today, which is the ninth, I think, discussion in the Security Council, may help a little bit. But I'm becoming a little desperate because I know that Foreign Minister Lavrov has spoken very clearly on numerous occasions to Secretary Kerry and other counterparts. President Putin has always been on the phone, as you know, on numerous occasions with various international political leaders, President Obama, Chancellor Merkel, and others. And we made our position very clear, our thinking very clear. If they don't accept it, they should not blame us for the continued destabilization in Ukraine. But it's not a blame game. We are there to help. We hope somehow this dialogue, they are urging us dialogue. We made our bid in that dialogue. So if you want dialogue, please respond to what we have been saying. And they are responding sometimes, but the response is that, well, but you know, the Ukrainians, they understand the importance of constitution, but can they do it now? Can they do this constitutional assembly? There is nobody to organize the constitutional assembly. Well, if there is nobody to organize, maybe this is exactly the role of the international community, this compact support group we have been proposing to help them organize those things. If there is nobody currently in Ukraine who can take this responsibility of organizing those things. So it is disappointing that those things which are obvious to us do not seem to sink in the minds of our international interlocutors and our Ukrainian colleagues.
Ambassador, what was your view of 100 countries voting with the General Assembly in favor of the General Assembly resolution that said that the referendum was illegal?
My view is that it showed that 93 countries refused to associate themselves with this decision, which is not a wrong decision and which is a confrontational decision, a decision which does not correspond to realities. We know that of those 100 countries who supported the resolution, many were submitted to rather cruel arms twisting in the course of the preparation for the vote, and they were coming up to us and apologizing for their vote. But this is a political life, you all know that.
Very specific question.
Secretary General has raised an issue regarding the nuclear issue about Ukraine, that the Budapest Agreement means that Ukraine has lost its nuclear umbrella. In other words, does the Budapest Agreement really dictate that any attack on Ukraine should be responded by any other country?
No, it's a political. First of all, I think it's quite clear, and we should not forget that non-proliferation treaty is there. The Budapest Memorandum was a political declaration, and the core of that declaration is the sovereignty of Ukraine, and those, including the United States, who in the course of that crisis flagrantly violated the sovereignty in Ukraine in creating this crisis and ousting the sitting president of a country to which they gave assurances of sovereignty. They should assume the responsibility for undermining this memorandum, first of all. Please.
Mr. Ambassador, you say that the Russian position is very clear. You've been trying to deliver. The President Putin has been trying. Lavrov has been trying. They are not listening. How would you judge the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon when he came to Moscow and then he went to Kiev? Did he understand the Russian position? Do you think that he delivered at least him? He's useful. He's shuttling around Moscow and Kiev and then talking with the other allies. So you think the Secretary General that just was here appearing before you can help in this crisis? Is effective? Has been effective his action or not?
Well, first of all, I think that the Secretary General has tried to do his best. He requested a meeting with President Putin, and he was received by President Putin very quickly. He made a trip to Moscow. He saw President Putin. He saw Minister Lavrov. He went to Kyiv. So I think he did his best. Under the current circumstances, I think for the Secretary General and for some others, it's also important not to do too much. You know, sometimes when you try too hard, you do various things in order for something to be done, which in fact may turn out to be counterproductive. And I hope that is not going to happen.
Yes, Mr. Ambassador, Mr. Secretary General just told us before that he's concerned about the division within the international community regarding this issue. And also he said that somehow if he understood well, he got assurances from President Putin, then there is not going to be another next Russian move within Ukraine.
This is what President Putin said in his statement on March 18, when he was speaking about the impending reunification of Russia and the Crimea. This is what he said. In fact, that was another element of our discussions. And somehow, again, some colleagues were trying to whip up this tension, Russian aggression is imminent or something like that, throwing wild assessments of the presence of our troops allegedly on the border with Ukraine. But over this month of March, we had four inspections with like 10, 12 countries participating under the Vienna document. Then we had inspections from U.S., I think, Germany and Ukraine under Open Skies Treaty. So we've had a number of inspections, and none of them told us that they saw anything particularly disconcerting. I'm sure that if they saw something dramatic, they would have raised hell over it immediately, but that has not happened. Also, you probably heard that today President Putin gave instructions to his to our Minister of Defense to return back to the Ukrainians the military hardware they left or is being left in Crimea as the Ukrainian military depart. To me, I'm a civilian, but to me this is not what you do if you plan anything dramatic against this this country. So our forces in Russia are undergoing their usual routine, staying in their barracks or doing some training. They are good forces, I must admit, but there is no worry of any Russian initiative against Ukraine.
Radicals. The Secretary General said...
As a follow-up to that, you also said yesterday, in your own words, that southeastern Ukrainians are very worried. So if President Putin is saying there is no intention to go there militarily, what will Russia do? Will they talk to Ukraine about what they feel are southeastern Ukrainians worry about Russian TV channels being turned off and the like?
I'm sorry, I didn't. No, there are many troubling elements about the situation in Ukraine. Russian TV channels being turned off is one of them, because people there, I mean, they're used to watching Russian television, so it's something which they see as a hostile act from Kiev, but this is a part of the very complex situation in Ukraine.
Would a constitutional convention, would that help the people who are worried about the current Ukrainian situation, the people
this
in
is,
Ukraine?
This is our strong belief. You know, in Ukraine, every time a new president comes in, they change the constitution. They change the constitution to suit a particular politician, a particular, you know, set up play between various political forces at a given moment. And this is not healthy, of course. This makes people nervous. And also, the current constitution does not provide for sufficient rights of the regions. You remember, maybe, that at some point in our recent history, we changed the system and the president started appointing governors. And, you know, we were criticized internationally. For some reason, it was seen as a non-democratic move. Now we have changed that again because we have reached a new level in our political development, feel more confident, et cetera, et cetera. But this is what they do in Ukraine. They send people from Kiev, sometimes with very bad reputation. You know, notorious corrupt oligarchs are being sent from Kiev to eastern regions of Ukraine. And, of course, people don't like it. And they want to be able themselves to elect their governors. They want to be assured that somebody in Kiev will not switch off, you know, their Russian language receivers. They will be able to speak the language they speak in because it happens to be their mother tongue. So all those things we believe need to be reflected in a new constitution, which could become the result of a constitutional assembly and a referendum.
Ambassador, the White House just announced...
Ambassador, thank you. For years that I've been here, we always saw you as a supporter of the sovereignty and integrity of the independent states, which is not the case now. Is this double standard or
no,
what?
No, it is. It is the case. We read the UN Charter from cover to cover. And the first article of the Charter is equality and self-determination. Then the Charter moves on speaking about sovereignty, territorial integrity. All those are extremely important principles. And in each particular case, they need to be viewed against the background of the historical and political circumstances. We believe that what happened in Crimea is a very, very special case, the mother of all so generous cases, as Latin speakers would say. We at length explained why it happens to be the case. So we responded to the will of the people in the Crimea, as reflected in their referendum. That was the right thing to do, the only thing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. On the issue of elections in Ukraine, are you actually calling for these elections to be delayed and saying that if they do go ahead on May 25th, that they won't be fair? And how would you answer critics who say, well, you know, you carried out, there was a referendum carried out in 2 weeks in Crimea. This is an election that's actually got a few months.
Well, what we believe is that the idea of the February 21 agreement was the right idea. First, to have a constitutional reform, and then presidential election towards the end of 2014. With a kind of a public mood and the desire of the people to be reunited with Ukraine, which has been expressed over 60 years, they could have done that referendum in 2 days. Thank you very much.